You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
We are headed overseas. We have our bags packed. One more show to go. But starting on Monday, Good Morning Football will be live from London to kick off the NFL's international series. We'll recap all of this weekend's games, get you set for Viking Saints at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That's all next week right here on NFL Network. Everything you know and love about our show, we're going to spin it and put that British twist on it. We're so excited. Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're live. We're still in New York City, though. It's Friday, September 23rd. I'm Jamie Erdahl. That's Kyle Brandt. That is Peter Schrager. And this is a Super Bowl champion with your New York Giants to my left, Sean O'Hara. Good morning. Our other Super Bowl champion, Jason McCourty. He's in Cleveland. Somehow, he is awake and smiling because he covered the game last night for Westwood One Radio. He called the game with Ian Eagle. We have plenty more with you later on. Get your takes ready to tee him up. Hey, it's definitely blocked. Kyle,
let's do it. How are the Steelers waking up this morning? Let's find out, because last night they had an evening engagement against the Cleveland Browns. And guys, the Pittsburgh Steelers are 1-2, but more importantly, the Cleveland Browns win in primetime against the Steelers. That's not something that's happened a lot in this generation. And they win 29-17, a double-digit victory. Our guy Tom Pelissero, how about this? Tom gets the QB1 for the winning team in primetime. And Jacoby Brissett talking about toughness.
Jacoby, 4 days ago, you guys let one get away from you against the Jets. To come out here against one of your big rivals, get this win, what does it mean to this team?
It just shows you the toughness of this team, the mental toughness of this team, the physical toughness. Coming off a short week, we knew it was going to be a 60-minute game, and we prepared for that, and it took every bit of it. So happy what we did today, and just keep building.
All right, so that's two straight losses for the Steelers. And Cleveland, as Kyle mentioned, is now 2-1. Could have been 3-0 had things gone differently at the end on a Sunday afternoon. But 2-1 is still pretty solid for the Browns after week three for themselves Thursday night. What do we make of the Browns' home win on Thursday night football over the Steelers?
We said yesterday they had to get rid of the stench of that collapse. 5 days later, they come out here and they played what I think the Cleveland Browns brand of football is going to be for the foreseeable future, and they did it at its best level. 171 rushing yards against a Steelers defense. Boy, has time changed. This is not what we saw in the 90s, in the 2000s, the 2010s. It was Hunt, it was Chubb, it was Chubb, it was Hunt. This team leads the NFL now with 191 rushing yards per game. And when Deshaun Watson comes to the team, everyone has these grand visions of what the offense is going to be. And then when he's suspended, everyone has these grand visions of the team falling apart. This is going to be the offense if you've got these two running backs in that offensive line. Watson, Brissett, Baker, or otherwise. And when it was rolling, it was rolling. Nick Chubb, it looks like he's got Barry Sanders moments and he's got Jerome Bettis moments. This guy is so good. And then Hunt is the perfect complement. You're not going to lose many games when you have 171 rushing yards. Last week, they lost one of those. This week, it was never in doubt. I know the score was close, but in the second half, this was all Browns. And for them to be doing this against the Steelers, a team that has just haunted them, and Mike Tomlin, a coach who has had such a dominant career over them, was such an important statement. The Browns are 2-1. They're 2-1 without Watson. They're 2-1, including the worst collapse you could ever imagine in an NFL season. 2-1, they're atop the division right now, and I think they're in a pretty good spot knowing what they are identity-wise. Mm-hmm. They showed it last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter, absolutely. It had a different feel last night because it's not just a win. It's the way that they beat the Steelers' defense up. It's not something that you normally see in this rivalry, and yet it's vintage Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, this is Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack all over again, all right? And no Tim Manoah at a fullback right now, but when you look at this offense, they're physical up front. The offensive line, they were talking about him, Wyatt Teller and Joel Bitonio. Jack Conklin made his first game back last night. They dominated that line of scrimmage. But I'm glad Tom Pelissero got Jacoby Brissett, because the one thing that I love about what Jacoby has done is he's just come into this scenario in Cleveland that could be very negative for a lot of other people. Handled it so well. And I love what he's bringing to this offense. I love that he's throwing fastballs. He's got quarterback sneaks. I think it's phenomenal. And I love the energy that he's bringing to this offense. Not blowing anybody away in the stats, but he's doing what's necessary. And the touchdown throw to Njoku in the back of the end zone, that was a fastball. That was a heater. And I love that Jacoby Brissett is all about the other guys.
I love the quarterback. I love the running game. To me, this was a Stefanski night, and this was a Stefanski win. Weird week, weird month, weird year, over and over for the strangest offseason, the most toxic offseason, and then to have an unimaginable loss in which there's a players-only meeting, there's fingers pointing online. It is all getting away from you. You need someone to say, not this week. And remember when they lost that game? The first thing Stefanski said is, we can't feel sorry for ourselves. We have a game Thursday night against the Steelers at home. They came out in this game sharp, motivated, running like that. Everybody's got good players, guys. Everyone has good running backs and good pass rushers. It's the coach. That is a coach of the year from 2 years ago. And there's a Tomlin thing where it's always about Tomlin, and Tomlin's earned that. But it almost reminds me of like McDermott AFC. It's like, it's not all about Belichick. Like, I can coach too. Mm. And Kevin Stefanski coached his ass off last night, and I credit him for him. I think he gets the game ball. I really do. Mm. I thought he did a great job this week.
Can I beat the complimentary football drum enough with it's about Hunt, it's about Nick Chubb, but you need Amari Cooper to step up as well in a game like that for the run game to open. That's back-to-back weeks that Amari Cooper had 100 plus receiving yards, and that might surprise you only because no one talked about it after that loss that the Browns suffered on Sunday afternoon. The fact that Amari Cooper 100 plus receiving yards, and then he does it again on Thursday Night Football on a short week. Woo. They need him to step up. And we talked all offseason about other trades involving wide receivers. Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill. This one got swept under the rug for a lot of reasons. A lot of other headlines were catching people's eyes. But all of a sudden, Amari Cooper is saying, watch me within this offense. I can help. I can be the guy. The Dallas Cowboys might be looking at that saying, darn, I wish we managed our checkbook a little differently to have him still in a Cowboys jersey, but the Browns are sure lucky to have him. And tearing up the secondary was one Amari Cooper, which I'm sure Jason has something to talk about with that Steelers secondary. But Jason, you, it is your stage, my friend. What would you like to focus on in this win for the Browns?
You guys hit Amari Cooper, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Give the defense some love. The past 2 weeks we've talked about, they've allowed teams to come back. We saw the meltdown versus the Jets in week one. They were up 20-7 versus the Panthers and let it be a game. Last night, 3 points allowed in the fourth quarter. They were on the money after giving up 34 in the first two games. You see the difference of yardage right there, the first downs allowed. I have to give this defense credit. And this is when they lost some of their starters. Anthony Walker Jr., the guy who called that players only meeting this week. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, he was out. So they had some of the backups step up and they played really well. And I have to give credit to this Cleveland Browns secondary, because throughout the week, we talked about the miscommunication. Denzel Ward took to Twitter to say it wasn't his fault on the Corey Davis touchdown versus the Jets, but they showed up and they played well last night. The incredible catch by George Pickens was the only explosive play down the field that they gave up to this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. So a lot of credit to that Cleveland Browns defense stepping up on prime time, helping their team get the win.
Jay, that's really cool. I know yesterday on the show you were talking about you needed them to step up, the Browns secondary, and for you to see it firsthand because you called the game last night on the radio is fantastic. Thank you, Jay. Now it's time to welcome in our NFL Network insider, Ian Rappaport. Last time we saw Justin Herbert, he didn't look good, Ian. So you must have the latest on Herbert. And what's up with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, we saw Justin Herbert yesterday at practice, and it was all good news. He was in pads. He was throwing, which, considering when last time we saw him on Thursday night when he was kind of fading right, could not throw, remember, chucked the ball down at the ground because he was in so much pain dealing with a rib cartilage fracture. This was much better. It looked pretty frisky there at practice. He was officially described as limited on the injury report, and he is officially day-to-day. But it has been all positive, all good signs for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. He has been at practice Wednesday, Thursday, and he threw on Tuesday. If he continues to progress, I would expect him out on the field on Sunday. Also good news for Lamar Jackson, somewhat of a surprise. He didn't throw it all on Wednesday, and it wasn't like he broke off some nasty run like we see him do on Sundays. No, he just didn't throw. He was wearing a compression sleeve on his right elbow after getting banged actually right before that 75-yard run. And he assured us not only would he play a lot on Sunday, he would also throw a lot. So there we saw him in Thursday's practice, listed as a full participant, throwing a ton. It seems Lamar Jackson is going to be fine.
Good news on both fronts. Ian Rappaport bringing the heat this morning. Thank you. We'll catch up with you later in the show. Until then, time for Mad Minute, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Week 3 officially kicked off last night, but we've got a great slate of games coming your way on Sunday. We're going to break down some of those best matchups. We are going to put 60 seconds on the clock and break down what we're most excited for in each game. The guys are going to go, and then I get to put a little bow on it and keeper of the key, if you will. So let's move forth. We're going to start in Miami for an AFC East showdown between the Bills and the Dolphins. What are we looking for in this game, Peter?
We could focus on Josh Allen and his dominance against Buffalo. I want to focus on Tua and how much he struggled against the Buffalo defense. Allen against the Miami team. Tua is right now 0-3 all time with only one touchdown in those three games. He's thrown four interceptions. This Bills defense has given him fits. And you remember in that final game 2 years ago with a win there in the playoffs, and Isaiah McKenzie and the Bills just absolutely blow out with their backups, the Dolphins. Tua, I loved what week two was.
Yeah.
This is the one I want to see. Beat the Bills, and then we could do the celebration and the coronation.
Yeah, the Bills have dominated this series over the last couple of years, and I don't think the Bills' defense has given up a single point in the second half of the season yet right now. And so I'm focusing on this Bills' defense too, but I'm going to narrow in on Von Miller. Teron Armstead has not really practiced this week. He's been a little banged up. If Teron Armstead's not out there, look out, man. It's going to be Miller time all day long.
Talked to Josh Allen this week. I said, you crush this team every single time you own them. What is the challenge in preparing for a team that you have dominated so much? Kind of just smiled and played, you know, it's different. You got to prepare. I think that the nice little fun Miami Dolphins story is going to be over after this week. I think they're back, but I think they're going to get crushed. The Bills' defense has not been scored on the second half. It's not just a Josh thing. The Bills are a perfect team.
Crushed?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose 38-13. I do.
Uh-huh. All right, divisional battles continue between the Saints and as they head to Charlotte to face off against the Panthers. What are we most excited for that matchup, Sean?
Can I just go offensive line here? I'm gonna change it up a little bit.
If you'd like to.
Ike Ekwonu, the rookie left tackle for Carolina. I gave up 2 sacks to Myles Garrett the first week. Cam Jordan, I expect to see a lot of this in this game. I think when you think about the Carolina struggling right now with Baker, he's not getting the ball out very quickly. So I'm going to be focused on that.
I picked the Panthers to win the division. They're going to start 0-3 if they lose this game. Mm-hmm. The rule thing is it plays. The Baker thing plays. They need this game way more than the Saints do. And the Saints need it, believe me, with all that they've been through. This is usually when Baker, I think, is at his best, although I feel like it's been years since that's happened. Mm-hmm. I need a massive, massive first half effort from Carolina in this game.
Guess what? Jameis Winston hasn't been good. Been good. And he had a nice little comeback there in the first, but the second game against Tampa, he struggled. And this was the fear that without Sean Payton in his ear, what happens when things go awry? Saints offense needs to get going. I will tell you who got going last week. Christian McCaffrey had over 100 yards last week. I could see him having a day against the Saints defense that we hype all the time. Let's see if they can deliver here.
Winston has been sacked 10 times this season.
Yeah, and that Saints offensive line.
Which is wild. And they've had their number, though, against the Panthers, 9-2 in the last 11 games for the Saints. All right, another big divisional matchup goes down in Minnesota with the Vikings hosting the Lions. What intrigues you about this game, Kyle?
I'm intrigued by what I'm intrigued by. You have Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins. I can't wait to watch Amon-Ra St. Brown. I can't wait to watch him. Jefferson is the story and the superstar, and certainly coming off what he went through against Philly last week. But I don't know if you saw Amon-Ra is back to his old tricks this week, calling out receivers that were drafted ahead of him. Dynami Brown. Just like, what did I do? I love this guy. I love the Lions offense. I don't know about the defense, but I cannot wait to watch St. Brown. It's so cool. It's one of the cool stories of the early part of the year.
The Vikings are going to be a roller coaster ride anytime Kirk Cousins takes the field. What version are we getting? We'll know early and often. Remember last year, the Vikings were hanging in that playoff picture, and then Jared Goff leads the Lions on a game-breaking, game-winning drive at the end. This one's in Minnesota. Detroit hasn't traveled yet this season. Gosh, if the Vikings can't take care of business against this Lions team, then we've got questions yet again, no matter who the coach is in Minnesota.
Doesn't it feel like this is a different Lions team? They had to wait till week 13 to get their first win last year, and now Dan Campbell, who speaks to everyone's soul when he talks, has already got them until. I'm looking at the running backs right here. Dalvin Cook. I mean, who would have thought that DeAndre Swift would have twice as many rushing yards through 2 weeks of the season than Dalvin Cook? Justin Jefferson's great. Thielen's great. All those guys are great. They got to feed Dalvin.
Can Aiden Hutchinson travel and follow up his 3-sack performance from last week? We will see. The Ravens look to move on from their loss to the Dolphins by beating beating a different AFC East team, heading up to New England to play the Pats. What's got us all excited about this one?
I think Lamar excites you because of the game he played last week and how dynamic he was and even a loss. And then week three, you have the Lamar-Belichick matchup, and you saw Bill this week have such respect for Lamar. I don't know how this New England offense keeps up with the Baltimore offense. That's what I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. Like, can New England get to 20 points? If they can get to 20 points, they can win this game. If it's the same offense we've seen from the Patriots all season, I don't see how they win this game, even at home against Baltimore's offense, which can score at will when they have to.
Yeah, there's really nothing exciting about this Patriots offense right now. I mean, it's very blah right now. And we don't even know who's calling the plays. I mean, we assume it's Matt Patricia. Yeah. He's the one that's talking all that stuff. But I'm looking at this defense for the Patriots right now, because what do you do against Lamar? Do you go big and try to slow him down? Do you go a small ball? Do you go six DBs out there and try to just get speed and try to find a way to slow him down? His arm's banged up. The fact that he hasn't thrown this week kind of is a red flag for me.
I'm here for the internet sleeper cell that says that Belichick has long-term plans to get Lamar Jackson as a Patriot. Very amusing to me.
Yes.
Been all, oh, that's a thing. And there's Lamar's kind of giving it back a little bit. Yep. Watch Belichick on the field during pregame and postgame find Lamar. It's his favorite Raven since Ed Reed. He loves Lamar, and he's starting to let these little hints out. It's very amusing to me.
I saw that yesterday, that there's like a bromance.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And there's like, a thing.
He talked about his contract yesterday, too.
Yes, when he does, it's like he just said something about Lamar. He said something
Lamar
good.
Lamar gives it back.
How sweet it is.
It's like very amusing.
Exactly. All right, coming up, nothing is sweeter, speaking of, than revenge. Will Carson Wentz get his against the Eagles this weekend? We're going to weigh in on that later.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, football!
Play fake. Trevor's going to run to the right. He's going to toss it to Christian Kirk for the touchdown! Touchdown pass to Christian Kirk!
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. Joining us now is a fifth-year wide receiver out of Texas A&M, coming off nearly a 1,000-yard season last year. He's off to a hot start with his new team in Jacksonville. Please welcome to the show a sweet good morning to Jaguars wide receiver Christian Kirk.
What up, Christian? Let's
morning,
go. Christian.
Morning, guys. Morning. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for waking up with us. Christian, like I said, you're off to a fantastic start, but it's after you signed a massive contract this offseason with the Jaguars. What did that number and the commitment from the Jaguars mean to you in terms of the trajectory you saw your career going on in the league?
Yeah, it just means that, you know, they believed in the player that, you know, I believe that, you know, I can be, and, you know, going to keep showing that I am. You know, it was just great to be able to end up in a place that, you know, has fully bought in, you know, to me and my development, and just, you know, keep maximizing my potential, and just always been forever grateful for that.
It's got to feel good, man. It really does, and it's been fun to watch you play early in the season. You're not the only new person there in Jacksonville. Your head coach, Doug Peterson, is a guy who has a Super Bowl ring. He has a statue in Philadelphia. Like, he has a whole thing going that he's bringing to you guys. What has been the Doug Peterson experience after just a couple weeks into the season?
You know, it's been great, you know, and it started from day one, you know, OTAs, mini camp, of him just coming in and, you know, setting the culture. You know, one of the things that he said, you know, when he first got here was he wants championship football, and you know, that's his expectation. expectations, and, you know, he wants nothing less and is not going to take anything less than that. And, you know, every day we work to win. And, you know, just his approach and, you know, mentality and culture that he set, you know, within our locker room, with amongst our guys, you know, everybody's really bought into it. And, you know, like you mentioned, with all his, you know, success, you know, in his history and back in Philadelphia, you know, having a coach who's been there and done it, pretty easy to buy into that. And so, you know, he's been great, and I know everybody here loves playing for him.
You know, on this show, we cover all 32 teams, Christian, and we watched you guys win 24-0 last week in the early window, and we're, like, ready to talk all Jaguars. And then Kyler Murray pulls a rabbit out of his hat that was so incredible out there in Vegas. You were his college teammate at Texas A&M. You caught his first college touchdown. You were his teammate with the Cardinals. Kyler gets a lot of dirt on national media shows and local. Were you surprised to see Kyler pull a team back from 20-0? And have you seen that kind of stuff before, knowing Kyler so well?
Not at all. I mean, that's just what he does. You know, I've said it from day one. He's a winner. And, you know, that's all he does is put his team in the best position and gives them the best chance to win. And I know every Sunday he takes the field, you know, that's the only thing that's on his mind. So a game like that, a performance like that, doesn't surprise me one bit.
Christian, listen, we really appreciate you waking up early on a Friday morning. I know you got practice later on today. I want to ask you about a couple of your teammates, and you've got a lot of first-rounders on your team. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, number one overall 2 years ago, but I want to talk about those first-round picks on defense. Devin Lloyd, one of Peter Schrager's Fab Five. He just talked about him the other day on TV here, and your number one overall pick from this year, Trayvon Walker. What have those guys been like, and what are you seeing from Trayvon Walker in a practice that makes you know that he's going to be an all-time great?
Yeah, I think maturity, number one, is the thing that I see in Trayvon and Devin from the first day they got here. Just, you know, the level of professionalism that they already carry themselves with, and picking up a new defense, a new scheme, and, you know, just coming in and playing fast. And it's been really impressive to watch those two go out there and do what they've done. I think both of them have had interceptions already in the first two games. And to be able to have that type of impact, you know, on defense already has been great. And it's what we brought them here for. And, you know, just their approach and their mentality. They're both athletic freaks. And so I'm definitely happy to have those two guys, you know, on our team.
One of the teams on Sunday between the Jaguars and the Chargers will notch their second win. Christian Kirk will be on the field for that. Christian, we appreciate you so much waking up with us on a Friday morning. Good luck traveling to the West Coast. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Brad Lowhouse, Twitter, wake up. We're shouting out to you. This is GMFB Jan. You like
Blue Edwards?
That's right.
Teammate.
Dallas Mavericks. Why are we talking about NBA Jan?
Bucks. Now after Mike Isolino and Derek Harper.
You're right.
Come on, Kyle.
I'm sorry. Each week we pick a running back wide receiver duo we think will have the best fantasy week. It's not fantasy football, it's really just statistical week. And we face off in head-to-head matchups like back in the arcade back in the day to see which duo comes out on top. Let's look back at week two.
No.
We'll start with Peter's win over Jamie Erdahl. Peter, what do you think?
I had Chubb and Cooper.
This oh, no.
Jamie gets an asterisk here. Pittman didn't play. He was hurt.
Yeah. Well,
maybe that came out on what, Saturday?
Yeah. But
still, you guys, I am historically horrendous, and I can't crack a double-digit win. I mean, the first week, I think I had 10 points.
We got to get you to 10 points.
All right. In the meantime, I have to show the other results between Mason McCourty, who's in Cleveland right now, and myself. I won again. I took DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra.
Yeah, and I just rolled up Jason, who had Drake London, Cordell Patterson. We're fine, I guess. But look, here's where we stand. Peter, you have the high score. I'm nipping at your heels, though. Jamie Erdahl with 18 points.
Jamie,
oh, just have like a goodness. Monkey pick for you. It'll be
I have
better.
I do have a theory. Or not a theory, but I have a strategy for this.
Okay, great, great, great.
I got that arm hurt would be a great start.
Tortoise in the hair?
No, yes. I have not.
Jamie this week picking DeAndre Hopkins. No, let's get to this week's pick. Peter, you and I will face it off. Let's go. Who do you got? Jamie's going to take on Jason. Go ahead, Peter. Running back, wide receiver.
Yeah, my running back and my wide receiver, I want to pick a team that has a lot of things going upwards. I'm going to go with an upset pick here. Might not be everyone's pick. Breece Hall, the rookie running back for the Jets, and Garrett Wilson, the rookie wide receiver for the Jets. Both these guys were fantastic last week. Hall had 8 touches, scored a touchdown. Wilson has this huge game as number 17 for the Jets. Okay. I am enjoying this Jets rookie class. I am going with these guys against the Bengals, whose defense has been good, but I don't think they're ready for the Garrett Wilson experience. I'm going Jets. That's my GMFB jam. I can pick any 32. Let's go with gangrene.
All right, tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to go with the Jets? I'm going to make this fun. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Wow. Oh, Jets, Giants.
Let's go. Let's go. Give me Saquon. And you know what? I was wondering who I should take at wide receiver. This guy, Richie James, has been making. No, I'm going to go with Sterling Shepard. This is an all New York GMFB jam. Green versus blue. We will see. There can only be one, my friend. Of course, they're playing Monday night against the Cooper Rush Dallas Cowboys. So, Saquon, go off. I'll have to come from behind to catch Peter in this one. Jets, Giants, I kind of like it. Jamie Erdahl, you are facing off against on remote Jason McCourty.
Yep.
Would you like to go first?
I'll go first. And my strategy is just to copy Kyle because he had a great week last week, and clearly I don't know what I'm doing when I play this game. I love playing arcade games. It's really disappointing. So I'm going to go DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown going up against the Minnesota Vikings defense, which, wow, Monday night could have gone better for you. But these two have combined to score 5 touchdowns over the first 2 weeks. Swift, 131 yards per game. He's averaging scrimmage yards. And Amon-Ra, he's the star of the league
right
now. He is exploding in front of our very eyes. They could travel to Minnesota and do some damage, and I kind of hope they do so I can win GMFB Jam for the first time. Maybe not win, maybe like 8.
Just want to get
maybe like 11
digits.
Points.
Yeah. All right. Well, Amon-Ra put up 39 by himself, so you're looking pretty right there. This is a crucial pick for Jason, though, right? You don't want to go 0-3.
Right.
J-Mac, this is the assist right now. I'm going Thunder Dan Marley right now. Here's the pass.
Here we go.
What do you got?
I love it. I have a great match over here. Jamie's worse than I am, both 0-2. I'm going to Minnesota. Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Channel a little Christian Leitner, Isaiah Ryder. These guys are going to get it going. Didn't perform on Monday night. Now they have to show up. And this Lions defense has given up a ton of yards and a ton of points. An opportunity for them to get a victory on the field, but more importantly, for me to beat Jamie because I know how bad she hates losing. Let's get the victory this week.
I really do. Thanks, Jay.
I have to point this out. Jamie has been struggling in this segment despite having an NBA Jam machine in her house.
What?
She has the game in her basement.
Stop.
I had 3 tequilas last weekend, went down and started playing it. I had to get some Scott Skiles action, and we all went there. Jamie, you of all people.
I know.
Let's go.
I know.
Come on.
To be honest, I had to plug the machine in just because those guys were coming over.
All we want to hear is she's heating up.
She's heating up.
She better start.
Indeed, I am ice cold when it comes to GMFB Jam.
Yeah.
Throwing elbows.
She's on fire.
Oh, God, I know. Let's move on.
It's better. It's better than that.
It's better than that.
I think it's better than
that. We've got more Good Morning Football coming up. Look at him go.
I think it's better. He's twisting and falling. Odell was tracking it the whole way.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, football!
The Steelers lose. Steelers who always find a way, and we say ad nauseum that Mike Tomlin has never had a sub-500 season. Well, he's sub-500 right now, albeit early. 29-17, and guys, inevitably, he was asked after falling to 1-2, Coach, are you considering a change at your starting quarterback?
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no. I thought he made some plays, man, but we all collectively came up short. And so, you know, that's how we measure performance, man. Winning is our business, and we didn't handle business. And so we don't break that apart and look for the feel good.
So Mike Tomlin rules out a change at quarterback in the name of watching the game film immediately after. We'll see how this one plays out over the next couple of days. But if we take a look at the offense last night, it was a solid start. If you want to look for the feel good, I think is what he just said. They sputtered in the second half, though. So that's now two straight losses for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the natural question becomes, how do they turn it around in Pittsburgh, Peter?
They moved the ball. That was the thing. Like, they moved the ball up and down the field, and they've got Najee. And I know the initial knee-jerk thing is like, all right, just go to Pickett already. It's only week three. And if you're all in on Trubisky, I don't think Trubisky played particularly poorly last night.
He didn't.
The problem is you've got three greyhounds at receiver, and that should be the strength of the team, and I'm not sure the offense right now is built towards getting these guys the ball. Pickens is unbelievable, and he has this catch, and that's it, but he's done very little the first two games despite a great preseason. It's because they haven't been throwing to him. I think Deontay Johnson is a very special player, and they paid him as such. And then you look at the third guy, Claypool. This is a talented trio. That is as talented a trio as you'll find in the league if you're going to look at the sum of the parts. Whether Trubisky can get them the ball or not is another question, but I don't think the offense is necessarily looking to get them the ball as much. Unfortunately for Pittsburgh, they've had issues on the offensive line. They are historically a run-first team, and that Ben has always been that guy that can kind of just be your old battle horse back there and just take a beating. I think things have to change, and with Matt Canada as a new play caller, or at least the new quarterback with him, with Trubisky, who was a play caller last year, you've got to get those playmakers the ball. Mm-hmm. You've got three great wide receivers, and it's frustrating to watch them lose a game 29-17 where they did move the ball methodically upfield and had a chance, but, like, there never felt to be that spark. Our producer, Quab, is a diehard Steelers fan. And, like I said, it's very uncharacteristic of watching the Browns just run all over the Steelers and have the Browns be out physicaling. Okay, well, maybe that's going to have to be how the games are going to go when the Browns are built that way and the Steelers are built this way. Maybe they look to open it up a little bit. You can't run the old Jerome Bettis, Deuce Staley offense when you don't necessarily have the same parts up front in the offensive line. Get your receivers the ball, which they haven't been doing.
Yeah, Peter, I like that you're onto the Matt Canada thing because that's a real thing. Look, it's week three for him and Mitch Trubisky, and look, there's going to be some growing pains there. Mitch knows he's got some guys outside, but I still think the identity of this offense should go through their best player, and I think it's Najee Harris. Okay. And look, it's not just about Mitch. Mitch is getting all the heat right now because he lost the football game, but I know if Mike Tomlin's looking at his defense saying, we couldn't get off the field in the second half. We had a 14-play drive and an 11-play drive, and until we get off the field, then I'll start talking about making some moves, but defensively, they got to step up as well.
I'm ready for Pickett. I'm ready.
You want it.
I want it. I thought Pickett should have started the opener. And I also think that Mike Tomlin is involved in a little bit of a game here with the media where he's like, I'm not giving you what you want. Like, I'm Mike Tomlin. I will tell you when I feel like it if I'm going to start. I'm not answering your question right now. You cannot overestimate the T.J. Watt injury. You can't overstate it. It's almost as big as, like, the Cowboys losing Dak. Like, that is their best player by far. I think they are a completely different team with that he's not out there. As such, we got to light things up a little bit.
Right.
We got to go. Like, I think we need to put up more points. Like, I think the whole plan for the season went out the door when he got hurt. We're going to play D. We're going to run. And Mitch, we gotta get loosey-goosey now. We got to go up and down the field. And Kenny Pickett, who knows? Maybe it'll fall on his face. But Mitch is a lot of things. Guys, Mitch is limited. He's not bad. He's limited. And I think I'm with Peter. The Najee Harris thing, it's always 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You're not going to win games like that. You're 1-2. And here's how the schedule breaks down. Don't bring up the schedule. They have the Jets this week, okay? The Jets would be a nice week to start Kenny Pickett on a long week with an extra day. After that, it's the Bills. I don't think you're starting Kenny Pickett at Buffalo in his first ever start. I think if you're going to do it, I think the time is now. And it's not just because of Mitch. I think the whole team plan changed. And I think they need more points, more vertical, more kinetic energy on offense. And I don't think that's going to come from Mitch Trubisky. And it could be a season-saving decision. Jamie, I don't know how you feel, but I'm ready.
Yeah, I think the time is now. I said the Steelers, I thought, were on a shot clock. This Thursday night game was very much a defining moment, I felt like, in the quarterback position especially. And I don't say that the change is needed because that's the only problem there. What's fascinating about this segment and how we were preparing for it is that I think there's a lot of problems with the Steelers. I think the defense with or without T.J. Watt has struggled in the last two seasons, and it doesn't feel like the Steelers teams that we normally know and love and that we love because they are so successful. Peter hit the nail on the head. The Browns ran all over them, especially in that plodding third quarter drive where it was 11 plays, 10 of which I think were run plays. Like, and they succeeded at the end. They scored a touchdown at the end of that one. The identity, where is it? If it's not going to be Najee Harris because he's potentially hurt or he's clipped a little bit, then maybe it's a spark on the outside. Well, where is that? It feels like their rudders have no traction and where they're trying to go. And Mike Tomlin, I will always stand on the soapbox and say, we should trust him, we should believe him. He has given us no material to believe otherwise. But this is really tricky. And I agree with his body language and the way he kind of clipped at that answer last night. Like, absolutely not, but it's because I want to watch the game film. Yeah. What is it going to tell you? What is it going to tell you? Where is your team going? What is the direction? Because this team had a lot more potential coming into the season than what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Jason, you saw it firsthand last night. Tell us what is going on, because maybe what we're seeing on the broadcast or on Twitter over and over again is different than the vibe that you got from the Steelers.
No, you guys are hitting it spot on. What the Steelers are missing is complementary football. You guys talked about them not being able to get a stop on defense, but what goes along with that is they've only scored 4 times out of 34 drives scoring touchdowns this year. They're not putting up the points that they need, but more importantly, they're not possessing the ball the way they need for the defense to get a rest and for everything to click together. They were 1 of 9 on third down last night, and that is it has the defense on the field too much. The same thing happened a week ago versus the New England Patriots. In the second half, when they needed to stop most, this defense is worn down and they're not able to get off the field. Last night in the fourth quarter, they made some stops. They got the ball back to Trubisky and his Pittsburgh offense, and time after time, the throws weren't there. Deontay Johnson's open on the outside, passes a little bit short. Faramuth on a third down, over the middle, pass a little bit too high. So for me, it goes back to what Kyle said. This is the moment, this is the time where to give it and hand it over to Kenny Pickett and see if he can get this offense a spark, because it won't only help them put up points on the board, but it's going to help their defense be able to get a rest, power up, make corrections on the sideline, and get back out there and execute.
Yeah, 9 days.
He says Pickett?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He says Pickett.
Jason,
9 days is a long time to sit around and look at that game film and question what's going on with your team. They played the Jets in week 4. All right, Jay, thanks. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Coming up on Good Morning Football, though, the Commanders, they have a tough task against a division rival this weekend. How is Ron Rivera preparing his men? He's going to join us later.
Let's go.
I love this guest.
He's our number one guy, Ron Rivera. We love him. Plus, can we count on the Ravens bouncing back in week 3? That was a strange loss. We're going to break down that matchup and more every game of week 3 at Good Morning Football. Mad Minute is next. Don't go anywhere.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.